Joining me now on the line is the Director of the Office of Management and Budget, Rob Portman. Good morning.
Good morning, Charlie. Thanks for having me on.
So in your job, you don't always get to deliver the good news, but this is relatively good news.
This is relatively good news. I mean, what it's showing is that the tax cuts worked. It helped the economy grow, and that's resulting in higher revenues. By the same token, we are making decent progress on holding the line on spending, not as well as we should. And that combination of higher revenues and keeping spending under some control is leading to a lower deficit.
All right. Basically, the president announced, your office announced, that you project the deficit to be a little bit under $300 billion instead of about $423 billion.
That's correct.
A lot of people are going to hear that and go, that's just way too big still.
Yeah. It is too big in my view and in the president's view. What's interesting is, as a percent of our economy, which is how economists look at this, in other words, I don't know, what is the drag on the economy of having these deficits? It's the same percentage on average it's been for the past 40 years. So we're back to the average of the last 40 years, despite 9/11, despite the recession, you know, despite the incredible costs we've had with Katrina, Hurricane Katrina and Rita and so on. So that's the good news. Better news, though, for me, is that looking forward over the next few years, you see the deficit coming down even more as we hopefully keep the line on spending and allow these revenues to continue to come in. We're going to get to the president's goal of cutting the deficit in half a year early in 2008, and it'll be down to only 1% of our economy by 2009. So these are the things the economists look at. It's good news for the American people short term.
Well, this is the kind of thing, though, that we have to explain over and over again, how a cut in tax rates generates additional revenue. The reason the deficit is coming down is because tax receipts are up so high.
That's correct.
For the people in the mainstream media who never seem to understand this, how does it work that cutting taxes actually generates more tax revenue?
Well, it's exactly what the president predicted back in 2001 and 2003. Remember, at that time, we were in a recession and coming out of it, and he said, you know, the best thing to do is for us to let people keep more of their hard-earned money so they create more economic activity, create more jobs, we get this economy moving, and then that will result in revenues coming up, and we're going to have to bear some deeper deficits in the short term, but this will pick up. Well, it's happened exactly as it did in the late 90s, by the way, when we got to a balanced budget last time, and that is that by keeping spending under control and allowing people to keep more of their own money, you increase economic activity, that results in more revenues coming into the federal government. At the end of the day, what we've got here is a better economy, more people working, and you've got the deficit coming down. That's exactly what we should all want.
I think the most startling number is that since the tax cuts were fully implemented back in 2003, the tax receipts have risen by more than 34.6%, and in the last year, they're projected to grow about twice as fast as the economy itself.
That's correct. This year, they're projected to grow at over 11%. Last year, they grew at almost 15%.
All right. Now, that's the good news. Let's go back to the bad news, which is that there are a lot of conservatives, a lot of Republicans that have been very, very concerned about the level of spending under the administration. We'll divide this into two areas, discretionary spending and entitlement spending. Is there any indication that finally we're going to get a handle on the growth of discretionary spending?
We've made some progress there, as you know, not as much as we would all like, but what you see over the last couple of years is Congress and the administration working together has taken this, what I consider day-to-day government spending that's appropriated annually, and really gotten it down to about inflation. If you take out the defense side and the homeland side, it's actually been flat. In other words, it's been at a freeze, slightly below a freeze last year. That's good news, and that is, you know, frankly difficult politically for a lot of members of Congress to do. By the way, taking the lead on this has been some of the Wisconsin Republicans who have been terrific on this, on keeping spending under control. On the military side and on the homeland side, we have seen some increases. But overall, the day-to-day spending is at about at inflation, a little bit below. The second part of this, though, Charlie, is what you're referring to earlier as entitlements, and that's the growth of Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. These programs are mandatory spending. They are not subject to annual appropriations. They are growing, unfortunately, at more than twice inflation, and that's our big issue. Short term, the budget deficit looks a lot better, and we're in pretty good shape. But longer term, because of these programs growing so fast, faster than inflation, faster than the economy, at unsustainable rates, we've got a real problem on our hands. We need to address it.
Well, let's also talk about the line item veto. You mentioned Wisconsin Congressman, our local Congressman Paul Ryan has been really pushing that. It's passed the House of Representatives. What would that mean for you and for the president if you actually had a line item veto?
It would be terrific. Paul Ryan has been a courageous leader on this. You know, he's the guy who back in 94 offered it and couldn't quite get it through the Congress. He keeps at it day in and day out. He's a former colleague of mine, as you know. And he did a great job in the House of putting together a bipartisan coalition. We actually got 35 Democrats to support it to get the line item veto to the president. If the president got it, Charlie, he'd be able to pull out the spending that's unnecessary and wasteful. And what I think will happen, honestly, is there'll be less of it. In other words, if you as a member of Congress knew that your particular project that was not, you know, an emergency and yet stuck into an emergency bill, or not really an appropriate expenditure for the federal taxpayer and yet got stuck into an appropriation bill, if you knew that thing was going to be subject to the light of day so that Charlie Sykes could talk about it on talk radio and it could be on TV, you're less likely to do it. So at first, I think it'll help keep the spending better because you'll keep out some of the stuff that should never be in the first place. Second, if we get some of that spending, the president can send it back to Congress and force an up or down vote on it.
So basically the story today that the president's going to bring with him when he comes to town later today is that the economy is cooking, and because the economy is cooking, the budget deficit is shrinking a lot faster than anybody projected even a couple of months ago.
That's correct. The projections that we had about 6 months ago, I've heard today some people saying, well, gee, they were, you know, too pessimistic 6 months ago so they could have some good news today. That's just not the fact. If we'd had good news 6 months ago, I guarantee you we would have been out there with it rather than take, you know, political hits for the last 6 months from a lot on the other side of the aisle who said the deficit is too big. So that's just a, it's sort of a, I think, kind of a crazy criticism of it. The reason you have a better deficit projection now, it's 30% lower, is because of the tax revenues. We rely on the Office of Tax Analysis, which is a bunch of career professionals at the Department of Treasury who tell us what the revenues are going to be. In February, they said they'll be 6%. Today they say they'll be over 11%. The actuals, by the way, the first 8 months are closer to 13%. So we're seeing some nice increase in the revenues because the economy is improving, because the tax cuts and other pro-growth economic policies are working. And that's what we've got to continue.
Yeah, I want you to explain this again for our liberal listeners who will believe that, okay, we still have this deficit. We could close the deficit more quickly by raising taxes, because in their world, or a tax increase means more money for the government, which means, therefore, lower deficits. You don't see it that way.
It's a huge risk. If we were to raise taxes today, what would happen is you'd see economic activity decrease. And the risk is that you would not see these increased revenues coming in. You would see the possibility of us, in fact, having lower economic growth, and that would result in less revenue. So you need to be very careful. To your listeners out there who are concerned that we're not being taxed enough, I will also tell you that we are just about at the historical level now in terms of the percentage of taxes to the economy. It's about 18.2% is the number for the last 40 years. It's true that when the tax cuts were put in place, we went below that for a while. Well, the president felt strongly, and I believe he was absolutely right. We needed that tax relief to get the economy moving again. Now the economy is moving. The percentage of tax burden that we're all bearing as American citizens is roughly the historical average now. So, in my view, you know, we're not undertaxed. In fact, the economy is doing well. Let's be very careful about raising taxes at this time. When the president talks about making the tax cuts permanent, that's all he's saying is let's not raise taxes.
Well, he's also saying let's have some predictability as well.
Exactly. You know, that helps the economy, too.
Yeah. Thanks for joining me. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me on, Charlie.
Sure. Anytime. Rob Portman, the director of the Office of Management and Budget.